at least one you can go look at. Proverbs 8:13. If you take notes, put that down and read that. God hates pride. You read over in the New Testament, in James 4:6, I believe it is, where the Bible says that God resisteth, or literally stiff-arms, the proud. And God says in other places he hates a proud and a haughty or an arrogant look. Now, I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God qualified those statements. In other words, I know a lot of times we're going to say, well, I'm proud of this thing or this child, or I take pride in my work or whatever. But could I just suggest a better way to phrase that, if you wouldn't mind? You see, God never said about his son Jesus, he never said, I'm proud of that boy. He never said, son, I'm proud of him. But I'll tell you what he did say, and I'm going to give you two references you can go read. Matthew 3:17 and Matthew 17:5. Two times God said the same thing about his son. Didn't say, I'm proud. But he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So maybe I could just suggest to you, when you feel pride, just maybe phrase it a little bit differently. Son, I'm well pleased with what you did. Daughter, in your life, I'm well pleased. Or, hey, I'm well pleased at how this project turned out. That's the way God said it. Just a suggestion. Okay, now, let's go. Let's go. We're done dealing with the first look. This is the three looks. This is the name of this sermon, or message, or chat. We've dealt with the first look, when Asaph was looking at people. That's a dangerous thing to do. Now we're going to deal with the second look. And he begins in verse 13 to look inward, or to look at himself. And he's going to reveal some things to us about his inner feelings here. And I dare say that you'll find some things in here that you might see in your life. I see a lot of things that he mentions that are within me. Let's just start with verse 13. Chapter 73 in the Psalms, verse number 13, Asaph says this, verily have I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. I'm going to read 14 also. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Listen, you know what it sounds to me like he's saying? He's saying, well, here I am. See, he's looking at himself now. He's through looking at other people. He's going to look at himself. He says, I repented. I got saved. I've done right. I've lived a clean life. I've heeded God's word. I've studied. I've witnessed. I've prayed. I've tithed. And all for naught. He's discouraged. All for naught, he said. What did it get me? It got me nowhere. It gained me nothing. See, he begins to look at himself, and it discourages him. He already admitted being envious and jealous of the world. So now he's looking at himself. Verse 14 seems to say, it just, for my efforts, this is my reward. And we mentioned this morning, there's a difference in rewards and blessings. Blessings are here in this day and time, on this earth. God blesses us many times over what I deserve. But rewards are for afterwards. When we're with him, we receive the rewards. Verse number 15. If I say, I will speak thus, and when he's talking about thus, if he speaks these things he just said, if I speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Here, we see this man, he is wrestling with a problem of being transparent before other people in the temple. If I say these things, if I admit to these things and tell people what I really feel like inside, they'll ostracize me. They'll put me out of the temple. You know, sometimes we're afraid to be transparent for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we shouldn't be. I mean, a true brother and sister in Christ, if you're honest and open with him, or they won't ostracize you. They won't cut you off. They won't say, get away from me. I don't believe a true believer in Christ will do that. They'll listen to you. They'll sympathize and maybe even empathize with your problems. But this is the way he began to feel when he was looking at himself. He's wrestling with this problem. And he's wrestling with his true feelings, thinking that, oh, I just can't let anybody know about this. I can't tell this to other people. Verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought to know what? This thing that he's just said. This thing that he can't reveal his true feelings. He can't reconcile. In other words, he can't reconcile within himself. He can't reconcile his innermost thoughts and feelings with what he knows to be right according to the Word of God. Oh, me. I tell you what. I can tell you another fellow that had this same problem. Look in the book of Romans. Go over to the book of Romans for just a moment. I want to read a couple of verses here. In Romans, chapter number 7, if you'll find your place there, I'll be right with you. This is a problem that people struggle with. And struggle with mightily sometimes. And sometimes they get to the point where it just really defeats them. But listen to Paul, chapter number 7. I want to begin about I want to begin with verse 14 in chapter 7. I think Paul is going to shed some light on this feeling that Asaph had, and the feeling that sometimes we have. Can't reconcile the thoughts sometimes that enter my mind and the thoughts that I entertain with what God says is really right. Paul says, beginning with verse 14, writing to the Roman church at Rome, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Boy, that's where we all were, aren't we? I mean, just so to understand, we were born sinners by nature. We didn't have to learn it. I mean, it's just there. It's a sin nature. For that which I do, I allow not. In other words, Paul says, that which I do is things that I don't really want to allow in my life. If I then do that which I would not, if I commit those things which I don't want to do, I consent into the law that is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Let me say this. When God saves you, he does not eradicate the old man, but he implants in your being a spiritual man. And the old man is still alive. We still got to live in this flesh. As long as this body is living, I'll be in this flesh. And we have to deal with it. But here's the thing. God implants a new nature in you. Now, go on. Let's read on just a minute. Verse 18, Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, Paul said, the spirit is willing, and the will to do good is within me. But sometimes, now this is the Apostle Paul, but sometimes I just can't find the way to do what I know is right. You ever have that problem? I do. Asaph did. For the good that I would want to do, I do not. That's why I don't do it. But the evil which I would not do, I don't want to do, that I do. The Apostle Paul. Now, I'm no more spiritual giant than Paul. And I know that these things afflict me in this life. I mean, they do. Now, if I do that which I would not, or other words, if I do that which I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight, or my spiritual man, my inner being, that God has implanted in me, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, we see the struggle. We see the struggle in Asaph, in Paul. I've seen it in myself. And we've read about the spiritual man that God has implanted within us when we're saved. And here's the key. It's really simple. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people say it different ways, but basically it's this. Whatever part you feed will lead. If you feed the flesh, then the flesh is going to lead you and be dominant in your life. If you feed that spiritual man, that spirit that God has implanted in you, that's how you will be led. Whatever you feed leads. And you have a choice. I have a choice. Sometimes I don't make the right choice. But I think that's what Paul is trying to explain to us in Romans. All right. Let me move on. Asaph couldn't exactly reconcile that. Now, we get down to verse, this is the second book, when he's examining himself, and he's being honest and open. And he put it down for us to learn by. The condition of that first look, when he was watching people, the condition that became prevalent in his life was envy and jealousy. He said that very thing. Now, the condition that will come up in our lives if we just continually look at ourselves and be critical of ourselves and don't feed the right one so that he leaves, the condition that will come upon us is this. It'll be self-pity. You know, if we just think only of ourselves all the time, we just begin to be sorry for ourselves. Oh, poor me. I'm so downtrodden. Oh, me. I just have to go on. And it'll be an attitude like that, but it doesn't have to be that way. And Asaph found that out, beginning in verse 17, and particularly in the second part of verse 17, in chapter 73, he begins to take a third look, not at people around him, not at himself, but he takes an upward look. He begins to look more at God. Verse 17. This was kind of connected to verse 16. It was too painful for me. Until, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Again, referring to the people he'd been looking at. Now, he begins right here. He begins to look at God. Now, I'm not sure when he said the sanctuary of God here, he may have meant the temple proper, but he may have meant his prayer closet. When he got in his prayer closet and met with God personally, he began to feel differently. He began to understand better about his feelings. And he says in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, the lost, the wicked. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Listen, it sounds like here in this verse, he thinks God's sleeping. He said, when you wake up, Lord, you'll cast them out, you'll take care of them. I know you will, when you wake up. Listen to me, God is not asleep. Never has been. The Bible says that, I'm looking for the reference, Psalm 121:4, the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God's not sleeping. I'm going to just give you a couple of verses to read, but I'm not going to turn to them. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9, we see the long-suffering of God, which makes some people think he's delaying judgment. Well, he is delaying judgment because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God's not sleeping. He's awake. He's taking care of us, but he's waiting. He's waiting. He's long-suffering, and boy, I'm glad he was. Oh, my soul, I'm glad he's long-suffering. I didn't get saved until I was 30 years old. And I tell you what, I wasn't a bad person, but I lived dangerously during those early years of my life. I mean, I did. Took a lot of chances. I could have died without the Lord. I'm glad God's long-suffering. I'm glad he waited and gave me another chance and another chance and another chance. But he's waiting. Judgment will come. There's no doubt about it. Now, we began to see a new self-perspective as a result of Asaph's looking more at God and getting in the prayer closet and communing with God. Beginning with verse 21, we'll just stop and make a comment about probably each one of these verses here. He says in verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He said, God convicted me. The conviction of the Holy Spirit of God has begun to work on him here. Thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. We use the word heart to represent not this organ that pumps blood through my body, but it refers to, in Bible language, as our inner being, heart of hearts. There's a word in Spanish. It's ser. It means me, my inner being. Me that lives inside this body. Not this organ that pumps blood, but my heart of hearts, me, my inner being. And he calls it here, my reins. Reins, like a rein that would drive a horse. But we see in verse 21, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. We see him here beginning to repent of his attitudes. Lord, I was foolish. I was ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He begins repenting of his attitude. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. We see him being convicted, then repenting. Then we see in verse 23, he's realizing who is really in control. Who's really in control here? And it's God. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Verse 24, he's recognizing now the blessings of salvation. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He's remembering and returning to his first love. Boy, how we stray sometimes from our first love. How it must hurt the heart of God when we wander so far from Jesus. But Asaph begins to be convicted, repents, realizes who's in control, and then in verse 25, he begins remembering his first love and returning to him. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He says, I'm going to remain steadfast in the faith. He changes his attitude altogether. He's now decided he's going to remain faithful. Verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. Here he begins to recap the final results. He's recapping for us now. And in verse 28, remember the theme that we talked about, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all his works. Listen, this is the bottom line, verse 28. You can just substitute your name here for Asaph. You can say this very same thing. I have put my trust in God, in the Lord God, that I may declare his works. You know, God made us as a free moral being. We have choices. He doesn't make anybody get saved. He wants everybody to be saved, but he doesn't force anybody. It's your choice. It's your choice to surrender and say yes to God. Yes, Lord, I need a Savior. Well, I'm glad for that day, 30-some years ago, that I bowed and received him as personal Savior. But it was a choice. You have choices in other matters too. Philippians 2:5 makes this comment, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. We have a choice to do that. We can live godly like Jesus. We can be an example to others, or we don't. It's a choice. It's a free will choice. But listen, Asaph made the right choice. When God convicted him, he repented. He changed his outlook. He stopped looking at people, stopped looking at himself, started looking at God. God is good every day. Amen. And I tell you, I can't say it enough. God is so good. He's so good to me. I could just tell you story after story and read account after account how God has taken care of me these many years. But he is good. I just tell you that I love you folks. I appreciate your fellowship. Appreciate you let me be here. Musicians, come if you will. Let's have a short invitation. I told you I wouldn't keep you long, and I'm going to keep my promise. Remember this, God is good and he loves you. He loves you no matter where you are in your life. If you're lost, he loves you and wants to save you. I don't know. I haven't heard everybody's testimony here, so I have no idea if there's someone lost listening to my voice tonight. But if you're here lost and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'll say again, like I said this morning, you could make this the day that you come to know him as Lord and Savior, and you could make this the place that you take the devil back to when he was thinking, tells you you're not saved. When the music starts, when we begin to sing, if you have that need, or if you have any need, if you just need to come and pray, if you're walking afar off, like Peter did at one point from the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just want to get close to him again, come and pray. If you need some help from somebody, they'll take a Bible, pray with you. Whatever your need is, come when the singing starts.
373, ask me not, 373.